everyone. Welcome to the call. Welcome to the new year. It's 2013. Let's get our sights and making it year, and getting very persuasive and influential, because everything you want in life is on the other side of persuasion influence, and the quickest way to double your income is to double your persuasion skills. Today is, what would be, January 2nd, and I guess it's time to get back to reality after all those weeks of eating fatty foods and not working as much as we normally do. It's new year, new time, new thinking, and welcome to those that are new. The replay will be located at whywhypersuasion.com. There's also a spot there to send me questions that's available. I know a lot of you are international on replay, and you can also ask me questions over the phone, or a lot of you like to send those via email at whypersuasion.com. That either way is fine as we get into another persuasion topic. So this call has been recorded, and we'll post it. It'll probably have them posted in the next 24 hours. Last week we took off, and then the week before that we've been kind of focusing on the different laws of persuasion. Those are familiar with magnetic persuasion. There's 12 specific laws, and we've talked about a few of them that are, well, I guess they're all important. It depends on the aspect in the persuasion. Now, the main thing I want to kind of underline here is you don't want to go into a persuasive situation and attempt to use all 12 laws. You want them, I mean, you do, but if you try to think about using every single one, it's just too much. You want to kind of analyze each one and think through each one as you go through it, and hopefully it becomes second nature to you, and it will become second nature to you. So what we need to focus on today is I want to focus on the law of association. You've heard me say this time and time again. This is my big eye-opener that I found as I started researching influence and persuasion. Is up to 95% of persuasion and influence involves a subconscious trigger. Now, we need to know what those association triggers are, so we know that sometimes we want to trigger them, sometimes we don't. And we need to understand how that works and the way our mind works. Because we've learned more about the human brain in the last 10 years than the last, well, about probably 100 years combined. So we know quite a bit about why we do what we do in these association triggers. And sometimes we don't even know why we do what we do. So let's talk about it. So the law of association is we tend to link objects and symbols with feelings and memories. And how we feel about you or event, you know, could be expectations. And these associations can be either positive, create positive or negative attitudes. They can evoke quick feelings. They can invoke a lot of different things that we'll be talking about to be aware of. And that's that subconscious trigger. Where's that coming from? It could be a smell. It could be a color. So let's talk about it. And we see this all the time in shopping. There's a lot of subconscious triggers, a lot of association triggers when we go shopping. And the science is actually quite fascinating with the science of shopping, why we buy. They know, for example, the more time we can get you to spend in a store is in direct correlation between how much you buy. And that's why some stores are very hard to navigate. That's why department stores are on the opposite end of the mall to keep you in the mall longer. We know this with casinos. Casinos is a subconscious trigger zone. I'm telling you. The carpet's loud so you don't look down. The air is filtered so you don't smell like it's just rain. The music is soft so you don't kind of put you into a trance. There's a lot of things there that they know exactly when you enter the door how much they're going to win from you on average. Even if you don't gamble, they know on average how they're going to get you. There's everything in a casino, so you never have to leave. There's a lot of different things. We know that when we get contact or somebody says hello, that affects how long you shop. We know that Walmart has a greeter that says hello. So here's this big Walmart store. Nobody will give you customer service, but there's someone at the very beginning to say, welcome to Walmart. Now, why do they do that? It decreases shoplifting because you're no longer anonymous. We know that the larger the cart, like at Costco, the more you buy. We know that when you say, do you want to supersize that, it increases sales by 47%, although they can't say that anymore because of the movie. That's a bad association trigger. So let's talk about a few of these association triggers that we can use and actually think about here. Some we know as far as one to take a look back is atmosphere. So here's a scenario. there was a great chiropractor in town, and she decided to move her practice into her home, right? She had enough people. She didn't want to do that anymore. She was kind of winding down, and people would come in, sit on the couch in the living room, and they'd walk down the hallway past all the bedrooms to the back bedroom to get adjusted. Now, if you knew her and there's a long-term relationship, probably wouldn't bother you as much. But if it's a new patient, there's just something wrong. It's getting past those expectations. There was a store in Southern California. It was a restaurant, all-you-can-eat restaurant. They wanted to do something really creative, so they bought one of those big old-fashioned scales, the type you weigh yourself on, and they took out all the numbers. And then they put different color zones, so when you got on the scale, it would show you how much you're going to pay. So kids wouldn't pay as much, adults would pay more, bigger adults would pay a lot more. Obviously, the restaurant failed. Even though they took the numbers off, being weighed, symbolically weighed before you eat, not a good subconscious trigger. So you have to take a look at atmospheres. For example, antique stores. When you go into an antique store, you don't want something that's all nice. It's a treasure hunt. You want to see, you're searching for the treasure. If a hospital was painted black, that would probably bother you. If you went into a law office, what's the atmosphere? It should be dark wood, lots of books. And most of those books are fake, okay? They buy fake because that's their expectations. They don't use books anymore. They use online searches, but they buy fake books because that's the expectation. The way, you know, an amusement park. Even in an atmosphere where people feel really rushed, that could hurt their ability to persuade them. In fact, they did a study with priests, people that were starting to become priests, and they were given a speech to do the next week on the Good Samaritan. You know, it's where somebody gets beat up and left for dead, so everyone walks by except Samaritan helps him. So they told the first batch, hey, they're waiting for you. You're late. You better hurry up. It's a 5-minute walk. Go. And on the way, there was somebody down and out, in the gutter, obviously in a bad way, and they want to see what percent would stop. And it's not the average person. These are people that have said they wanted to give back and help out. Now, when they were in a hurry, only 10% stopped. But when they said, hey, go ahead and leave now, it's a 5-minute walk, it's in 20 minutes, you'll have plenty of time, 63% stopped. So that's part of the atmosphere, too, as far as what type of feelings are they rushed and relaxed. It could be anything from music to layout to aerobic to movement. That's an association trigger. One that you can use, too, to think about is endorsements. Michael Jordan, we like Mike. He wears under that certain kind of underwear. We like them. Or the hot dog, Bill Cosby, Tiger Woods. I mean, if you think about Tiger Woods, he's lost a lot of endorsements. See, what happens is when there's someone we like, they want to get a product of it. These guys make, and gals make more endorsing products than they do in the actual sport or whatever it is that they do. But then the opposite thing, if Tiger Woods runs into trouble, Michael Jackson had the same type of thing, Kobe Bryant, who was the swimmer? Phelps. And so they have to pull those endorsements real fast because it has the opposite effect. That could be even Buy American. You know, people say that. It has an association trigger to it. So an endorsement is also an association trigger, way to borrow credibility. So part of it, too, is understanding anchors. Anchoring is a technique that captures the feelings, memories, and emotions of a certain event and places or things. And then right when it happens, when we smell something again or see something again, all those feelings come back. The biggest one, the easiest one to explain here is smell. Because our sense of smell is so powerful that it can quickly trigger associations and memories and emotions. You can smell fresh-cut grass or pool chlorine or the beach, and go back 20 years, 10 years, because our olfactory system gets very powerful. You know, by 4 to 6 weeks, infants can tell the difference between their own mother's scent and that of a stranger. And there's bad smells. Now, to chlorine in a pool, that's good for some people. For me, I'm not so good. I grew up vacuuming pools. I put chlorine in pools at my house, and that's not always the best scent for me. And so it could have different feelings. I grew up in California. Smelling the beach, man, that does it for me. That sends me back. There's so many memories. My father hates it. Makes him tense. You know, I found out when he went to the beach for the first and only time, he didn't put on any protection or sunscreen. He got so burned, he never went back. It's a bad trigger for him. So it can vary by culture. It can vary by even profession. There's certain smells that trigger feelings. That's why one of the first things we do with real estate agents is have them bake cookies or bread before someone comes into this house they're showing. Because now all of a sudden, you're home. You're smelling your home. Because think about it, you could go to a home, let's say you're looking for a house and you go to the perfect house, it's cheaper than you, your price range, great school district, everything's perfect, but it reeks, sorry for the example, of cat urine, right? Cat urine, it just reeks. And logically, you know, you could get rid of the smell. Logically, you know, you could replace the carpet. Logically, you know, but it just doesn't feel right. That's an association trigger. And that's what we're very careful of. Cinnabon stores. When people know the smell of Cinnabon stores, they're more likely to donate to a charity. We know that the bakeries and supermarkets, they used to just pump that outside. No, but pumping it inside increases sales 300%. We know with college students, if you give them a muffin, just say a really crumbly muffin, and they open it up, there's just crumbs everywhere. If you can put like a Windex cleaning solution spray in the air, they're more likely to clean it up. Now, the study after study. One thing we need to be careful of here is perfume and cologne. Now, when you wear the right amount, you are rated as more attractive or handsome when you wear it. I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry. But in business or negotiation, I wouldn't wear it. Too many complaints. You're wearing too much. You want to smell like you've taken a shower, clean smell, but it doesn't have its time or place in the business world. So that's something to think about, smell. When they come to your home, to your office, what are the smells, what are their expectations? Certain smells we expect in a doctor's office versus a clothing store. It matters. It's all under the radar, but smell is one of those anchors. Another anchor is music. Music's a lot like smell, where it just goes right to our emotions. And music links with attitudes and experiences. I mean, if you've heard the music of Jaws, that just triggers different type of attention. You ever heard the music from Rocky, where it's upbeat? Local gyms will do upbeat music. They'll have stores, especially for youth, that are high energy too. The music. But you have to understand that, here's a fun example. So these teenagers are loitering at this convenience store, right? They're loitering. So they call the cops, and the teenagers leave. And the cops leave, and the teenagers come back. It wouldn't work. Kept trying and trying. Finally put speakers outside and started playing Frank Sinatra. Okay, very slow music that teenagers aren't going to like, and they didn't loiter anymore. You can hear a song, and it goes, think of dance with your high school sweetheart. If the song's popular, they're going to link it to a product, just like endorsements or something about music, and even the speed of music. When you go to a supermarket, when they slow down the speed of the music, you shop longer. You walk slower. Places like fast food restaurants will have a faster music because they've got your money. It doesn't help them for you to stick around. You need to eat your money and go. That's a much faster music. So there's something about music that is an association trigger that you can use and be aware of. The music's powerful. Advertisers use it, and it's universal. I know you've heard it. The music can soothe the savage beast, and there's a lot of truth to that. And it's something that we can all think about with songs and music, whether you're doing a seminar or talking to someone or any type of music you can use is powerful. Another one is symbols. See, symbols bypass our logic, and it's just an automatic one. A good example is gold. Gold is symbolic of wealth and success. And gold's not even close to the most precious metal, but it's always there because of the symbolism, wealth, and going on a gold mine and gold hunt. It's just symbolism there, even though there's all those other metals that are a lot more expensive. The McDonald's arches, they spend all the money to create that symbol and association trigger. In fact, the average two-year-old can recognize the McDonald's symbol, a skull and crossbones. I don't need to explain what that means. You know that's poison. You know that it'll be fatal if you do. You know you need to stay away. Red stop sign, or even a police car. You've been keeping the speed limit, you see a police car, and it breaks. Even though you didn't need to, you did anyway. That is a symbol. Whether it's a crucifix is very symbolic. The Statue of Liberty, a swastika could be a very negative one. A wedding dress could be positive or negative. A Christmas tree, positive or negative. Olympics is a powerful symbol. That's why people spend millions of dollars to support the Olympics, because that's symbolic of unity and gold and coming together and winning. That's the power there. And so we need to think about that as far as the different symbols that you can use. Like I mentioned earlier, Buy American, having an American flag if you're in the United States is symbolic. You have, the credit card logos. You see them on websites and retail doors. Just by seeing a Visa or a MasterCard increases the amount you're going to pay, even if you're paying cash. So having that on your website or on your retail door actually increases. That's a symbol. You don't have to pay for it later, not have to worry about it. Now, that's changed a little bit with just because of how things have happened with credit cards and economies around the world, but that's one of those symbolic things. Part of Association 2, and is that me or questions? I just got a question here from the net about credit card logos. It says, on my checkout page, on my internet site, should I have pictures of the credit cards? I said, absolutely. The ones that you take, even a PayPal logo would be helpful. That's a trigger, too. That's a symbol. It's a symbol of success. You have to look around. You walk into someone's office. What do you expect? When you go to a CEO's office, what do you expect to see? We know that cluttered offices decrease credibility. And that's an association trigger. Affiliation, you know, positive images and feelings and attitudes. For example, when a college football team wins a big game on Saturday, we know on Monday the number of university sweatshirts is going to dramatically increase. And everyone's going to say, we won, we won, we won. Now you watch when they lose. Fewer people wear sweatshirts, number one. Number two, they will say, they lost. Shall we distance ourselves? They lost, they lost. So what's a good affiliation? Just taking someone out to good food, a game of golf, football tickets, a cruise. Those are all good association triggers that people like. You've seen a lot of commercials, babies and puppy dogs, because that's an affiliation. We love babies. We love puppy dogs. It has nothing to do with tires, but they're in the commercial. Here's a fun one. U.S. presidents spend all this time when they get in the office the very first time as far as getting a dog. What kind of dog? Get a dog. Why? Dog's man's best friend. You have a dog. Clinton's tried to get a cat. Didn't work. They finally got a dog. It's just something there. I mean, if a president came in the office and got a pet hamster, pet monkey, pet gerbil, pet snake, I think that would be a challenge to you. Another association trigger, you go to a doctor's office and they have fish. It's calming. It's soothing. It's an expectation. What if they had an aquarium of scorpions or snakes? That wouldn't feel right to you. And that would be a bad association trigger. Then, one final one I want to spend some time with is color. Color is interesting. Now, here are the numbers that are just, wow, powerful, that 60% of the acceptance or rejection of a person or a product comes down to color. There's something about color. Now, we know when you're dressing, especially for men, blues and blacks tend to be more credible colors. Red, white, and blue, you know, blue suit, red tie, white shirt still pulls very, very well. The one color that triggers the quickest in the human brain is yellow. Yellow is the first color. Most people say red. Red's like number two or three, but yellow is a color that triggers really fast. That's why you see fire trucks and fire hydrants becoming yellow. Someone asked me, what about the color pink? Well, that depends on culture, too. Colors and profession, because red to an accountant is different to a doctor, medical doctor, which is different to an advertiser. I mean, they're different. Now, pink, that's an interesting one. In fact, there's been studies done on pink to where pink facial cream tends to be a little stronger than white facial cream. But the interesting study that was in Seattle at a holding cell at a prison facility where these inmates, when they were holding them before they processed them, they were fighting, very aggressive, a lot of fights. So they painted the whole thing pink except the floor. Didn't paint the floor pink. Everything's pink. So it reduced the fights, reduced the aggression. Now, it promoted other feelings. No, I'm kidding. I just had to say that. But pink's interesting that way. In fact, if you like football, University of Iowa, they get in trouble all the time because their whole visiting locker room at the football stadium is pink. The toilets are pink. It's all pink, pink, pink. Showers are pink. And they say it gives them a competitive advantage. And I don't know how true that is, but they swear by it. And think about it. If you want the wrong association trigger, they came out with green ketchup. it just doesn't feel right. Failure. They came out with Crystal Pepsi, clear cola. No, it doesn't feel right. They came out with margarine. It was all white. No, they need to color it yellow. When you put food coloring in strawberries or orange juice, even though it's the same batch, the one with food coloring will be rated as better tasting. They do it with milk jugs. When you buy a gallon of milk, it's the see-through clear plastic. They found if they would just tint that yellow, that the milk would last longer, 3 days longer. What a no-brainer. But then the association trigger, no one's going to buy it because it's yellow. Like, you know where we're going with this. So even colors, like whether it's your PowerPoint or your office or the school, you have to take a look at colors. You have to take a look at colors. So here's one that's real interesting. So they bring people in to test coffee, right? On a test coffee. So they make a big batch of coffee, all from the same beans, same batch. But they took this coffee and put it in four containers, a blue container, a yellow container, a brown container, and a red container. So they had everyone taste a little of each one. Which one's the best? And the blue container was too mild. Yellow was too weak. Brown was too strong. And red was rich and full-bodied and just right. Because it matters. Even laundry detergent. The color flex inside Tide, a lot of research. Even the outside box, they took the same detergent and put it in three boxes. One is in the yellow box, and they're like, oh, it's too harsh. Blue box was too weak, but when it was yellow and blue, it was just right. Okay? So those are association triggers that make a big, big difference. So what do I want you to do? I want you to look at your website, or if you have a retail spot, and I like to be able to actually videotape and take a look around at the different colors, the different triggers, the different associations that people have, because you don't see it. You're there every day. It's amazing what you can pick up when you really take a look. Okay, is my desk too cluttered? What about the association trigger of a car? That's an association trigger. Smell, am I smelling okay? Am I using the right, more credible colors? What symbols do I have around me that trigger success? Just kind of take a look around. You know, smell's an issue about music. All those things come into play, and it'll make a big difference. And that was from one of the 12 Laws of Persuasion we talked about today, the Law of Association, which can be found in your Magnetic Persuasion audios if you want more information on that. Got a question here, but it says, Kurt, how do I know, based on professions, what colors are and aren't acceptable? And that's based just, a lot of it's on experience. You're not going to find a report on that. But if you go to some of the more successful places, you're going to see a lot of the same type of things, expectations, like law office, like we mentioned. The colors are going to be similar. The dark woods are going to be similar. The entry rate with receptionists can be very, very similar. And we say, well, we want to be different. Well, that's fine. You know, be the doctor with the scorpions. You're going to lose patients. Have, you know, bring people into the, well, it shouldn't matter if my office is cluttered. Well, it shouldn't. I agree. But, it, you know, it does. They've done studies with college professors. It matters. And you get different evaluations. Good question about colors and websites. It depends on the profession, but I would say make sure good contrasting colors. I mean, yellow is great. It triggers people's attention. But if I wore a yellow suit during a presentation or my whole website was in yellow, yeah, it would grab attention about 2 seconds. And after that, it would annoy you. Darker colors always tend to be more credible in that situation. Question about the science of shopping. Kurt, where can I get more information on the science of shopping? We talked about it briefly today. I know Paco Underhill, if you really want to get the science, that's all he does. He goes to malls and he figures out everything as far as product placement. You need to make sure that the adult cereal is at eye level and the kid's cereal is eye level for the kids because the kids get the parents to buy it. I mean, he studied it all from the dog food on the top shelf is not good because your senior citizens who have a lot of animals can't reach it. They don't like to ask for help. There's a lot of things that would be a resource for you. Great. Any other questions out there on phone land or via the net? Be happy to take those. So I got another question here. Is physical movement an association trigger? Wow, that's a question. Physical movement. Yeah. We know with connectivity, when you mirror and match, that's part of it. The one I'm thinking of is yeses, getting them just to move their head up and down. I don't know if you've seen the commercials where they have the song at the bottom, the words at the bottom. There's a bouncing ball. It goes up and down vertically from word to word. That increases the persuasion because your head starts going up and down movement. They took college students with, and they had these very high-tech headphones. They were playing music. And in the middle of the music, there was a commercial to raise university tuition, and they just want to see how persuasive the commercial was. But here's what they found out. There's three groups had these headphones on. The first group would shake their head up and down in the yes movement. The second group would go side to side in the no movement, and the third group wouldn't move their head at all. And they found that those that were going up and down in the yes movement were more persuaded about an increase in university tuition. So there are ways to where, you know, movement can do that. And, of course, the association triggers, when I teach people how to do presentation, there are certain movements that repel people. Giving people a bird would be one. Folding your arms would be another. For some, hands in your pocket. Gestures coming above your shoulders. So there's a list of things that could be part of physical movement and association triggers. Good question. Any other questions over the phone or the oh, here's one more. Let me ask you, is anybody on the phone? I'll take this last question here. We're running out of time. I mean, the key is give you a couple persuasion tools for you to apply this week. But be more aware of those association triggers on your website or your body. You know, our accessories is an association trigger, our office colors. And the questions about Kurt, I was at the supermarket the other day, and this I walked past a coupon dispenser, and the motion detector sensed me, and it shot a coupon at me, which really startled me. Is that an association? Not necessarily. I mean, I don't think it's good to go around scaring people, but movement can be a powerful thing. I know in stores that anything that moves grabs people's attention. So it's more of an attention getter, law of involvement type of a thing, more than an association trigger. That's why you see probably, you know, Little Caesars and during tax time people with silly suits dancing around because there's something about movement that catches our eyes. Or a lot of those cell phone carriers have those little blow-up things that they blow up and it's kind of whipping in the wind. That's movement. That's why the coupon's coming at you. That's why end caps at stores tend to have a lot more movement. So it's somewhat more an association trigger than a getting people involved, getting people to look, grabbing their attention more than anything else. But I've been startled by those two. When you walk down the supermarket, things come flying at you because they sense your motion. But it grabs your attention. It does. But if you know, if you scream and lose bladder control, probably not a good thing. But it did grab your attention. All right. This will be posted at whypersuasion.com. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for your questions. Those on the replay, any questions, send them to me via whypersuasion.com. Hey, 2013. Write your goals down. It will triple your commitment level. It really does work. Stick to it, and we'll make this your year. So with that, everyone have an incredible evening, and we'll talk to you next week.